Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am back with Tobin and Caleb. And we have another fun episode for you today. We're going to talk about credit cards. I think we mentioned, I'm trying to even remember what the episode was. We mentioned this weeks and weeks ago.
It was whenever people turning 18. That's what
yes.
it was.
Yes, yeah. You're right, Tobin. So I'm finally coming back around credit cards. We're also going to talk about comment culture and test anxiety as we kind of get into state testing and finals and all the things that come with spring. But let's start talking about credit cards, because I want to pose a question, which is, do we think teens know how credit cards work?
No. I know adults that don't know how credit cards work.
So I was going to say, I was going to speak personally, in my experience, no. I didn't have a credit card until I was out of college.
I saw this TikTok. I'm going to try to find it so I can post it if you are interested and want to watch it. But it's this mom who's talking to her teenage daughter, and her teenager's like, I don't understand. Why do I have to pay for it twice? And the mom's like, what are you talking about? And she was like, I paid for it, and now you're saying I have to then go pay for it again to pay off the credit card? Like, she did not understand that how credit works, that it's different from a debit card. It's not like you just pay for it and it comes out of your bank account, but you pay for it and then you actually have to pay off the credit card. And she did not understand how that worked, which is horrifying to think about that you have a teenager that, is it when you turn 18 that you start getting all the applications? For credit card companies. And so if you have not talked about credit cards with your teenagers, you might want to do that.
I remember like 22 is like whenever I got mine, and I'm like sitting there and I like am calling my dad. Like, I'm like, I'm making sure that I pay this right, because I'm like, I don't want to like encounter like debt, because I'm like, it was scary. Like, it was a scary moment. I'm like, I'm going to be in like years of debt because I forgot to pay this one bill. So it's scary if you don't understand it.
I do think this is where the girl math problem might come into play, because if you have a teenager who has a credit card and they're like, I can't afford that, but I'll just put it on my credit card, and that's a problem for future Carly, and girl math, then it's free. And then when they actually have to pay that off, or when they start getting fees, and then a year down the road, they're going, oh, now I owe double what I actually paid for that because I didn't take care of this well. And so this is something that's worth talking about when your teenagers are in your home. But I do think there are some times where credit cards are helpful. So if debit cards are compromised, it can cause more problems than credit cards. So like personally, if I'm buying anything online, I use a credit card over my debit card, because my debit card got compromised once early in our marriage, and it was a whole thing. Someone bought like $500 worth of jeans in California. So, and just getting that money back is a little more difficult than a credit card company and all that. And so sometimes that is helpful if your teen is doing a lot of online shopping, or maybe buying things on like TikTok shop that might compromise their card. It might be worth having that conversation. It does help build credit. And maybe they're traveling and aren't wanting to carry cash or, like I said, a debit card that could get lost. There are sometimes where it is helpful, even if your teen isn't 18, where it might be helpful for them to have a credit card. Like, I saw someone was saying that like their teen was going on a school trip, and they were like, do I hand them $200 worth of cash and just hope that they don't lose it? And so I did want to talk about I looked into some safe options for teens. Some of these actually are debit cards, but maybe when they're younger, if you're teaching them how to budget well and keep that money well, then when they get a credit card, it's not like the first time they've held a piece of plastic in their hand and they don't actually have the cash in hand, and that could be helpful. But the ones that when I searched that came up were Greenlight and Modak were the two big ones. Greenlight is a debit card and an app for kids and teens. It really is pretty cool. And both of these are kind of similar, but like, you can set an allowance where it dumps into their account every month. You can see exactly what they're spending stuff on in the app. You get real-time notifications of their activities. For Greenlight, there are monthly fees, so they start at like $4.99 a month. Modak does not have monthly fees, and it's a Visa card. And it's a checking account, but like I said, no fees. But it, I kind of think it had similar, what's the word I'm looking for?
Attributes.
Thank you. Similar attributes. There you go. it, they're similar. And so those might be some, if you're like looking at it going, I don't know if I want them to have a debit card that's linked up to our account that they could spend however much money on. Maybe you get them something that is designed for kids and teenagers. But some people, another option, if you are looking for a credit card and they aren't 18 or you're wanting to watch it, some make students authorized users on their own credit cards. And so that could be something, and each credit card's different. But I think on some of those, you can set a limit and then you would have access to look at what they're spending on. You would have access to be like, all right, now we pay this off and let's have that conversation, because you would have more control over that than if they got their own credit card. But it would also help build credit. And so like, I don't want to go too deep into credit cards because I think you could have a lot of conversations. But if you are especially a parent and are wanting to have this conversation, some things to talk about ahead of time credit and what that looks like and how to build credit, and that you don't want bad credit, because that will affect things for a very long time if they don't do that well. Talk about paying bills, maybe talk about like, we're going to treat this like a debit card or like cash. So whatever you pay for at the end of the month, you will pay all of that back at once. Like, let's not get into fees or paying stuff off over time. And maybe also the pitfalls of opening lots of cards. Because if when they turn 18, sometimes it's like, sure, I'll get an Amazon card and a card for, because I get miles, and I'll get, and I don't know, all these
benefits, all the rewards.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to sign up for everything and open a ton of things in my name. And then that just can get dangerous and tricky. Right.
It's also important because like, like for me being, you know, 22 coming out of college, having never had one, and then I'm like applying for apartments, things like that. It's like the world, whether we like it or not, is so much run on this line of credit that if you don't have like any, even though that like in your mind is a good thing because you've never had to have a credit card or debt and you've made it like that far in life, in my opinion, I'm like, give me the apartment, right? Come on. Anyways, like the world is run on it. And so, the fact of having credit, having a good line of credit, even coming out of college, even coming out of high school could be really good. Foot up just in the world that we live in. And so, yeah, walking them through, hey, here's like, let's get you started on like a basic one. I think the one I started out on was like Pedal, because like none of the other ones would want me because I had no credit. And like, you know, walking through the app, here's how you pay it. It'll show you what you've spent money on, and then making sure, right, you have enough in your banking account to match and things like that are just super useful for just life in general. And it's better for all of that conversation to happen while they're still under your roof, then, you know, out, you know, get them all the Amazon, all the Apple cards, all that. So,
right. Well, maybe you pick one credit card and you tell them, this is just for gas.
Yeah.
Only your gas goes on this. Or like I said, if you do, you get $100 a month for online shopping and only online things go on this. Like maybe making some rules ahead of time so they're not just thinking, oh, this is a problem for later and racking up a bunch of credit card bills. But have the conversation about credit cards, because what I'm seeing online and on TikTok is they have no idea how it works. So you might be surprised when they make a mistake.
Yeah. And they might not have any idea how credit cards work, but teens do know, okay, their way around social media and algorithms and all of that. And so I'm going to jump right into kind of comment culture. Something that I think is mainly like we see it most on like Instagram, especially. But it's kind of this expectation, right? If a friend posts a picture or makes a post, that it's like your job to comment, that it's your job to kind of boost, be like, oh my goodness, you are absolutely crushing it. Like, hey, Caleb, I love that hat. Where'd you get it? Right. And then just to like, it's this expectation. And I think like it's almost evolved towards like, you might be like, oh my goodness, why didn't so-and-so comment? Mm-hmm. Like, are they mad at me? And things like that. And like, it's kind of formed, we were talking about it before, I'm like this weird, like, it's like we're trying to make social media worse, because it's like all the anxiety about making this post, right? You have that. And then now you have an anxiety of like, are my friends going to comment? And then now you have an added anxiety of oh my goodness, my friend posted, I have to go comment. And then it has to be a good comment. And so it's like, it's not even your post and you're probably anxious about, man, what should I comment? Got to be funny. Got to make sure that it's like interactive, getting a lot of comments. And so it's just, I don't know. It's just the culture of social media and trying to, you know, do all of these things to impress, to make a post better, more appealing, things like that.
Well, I think you said this offline, Caleb, but they know that the algorithm gives priority to interaction. So yes. if they have more comments on their picture, then more people will see it. They'll get more likes. Like it's this whole cycle. And so you'll see things like friends will comment three times. Yeah. OMG is one comment. I love you is one comment. You look incredible is another comment. And so one person will have three comments.
Yeah.
And then the person who posted it will go respond to each comment, thus doubling their comments. It's this whole thing, but it's not just about likes anymore. So like comments also equal status, popularity, and it shows acceptance of, hey, they like this post if they commented on it.
And yeah, I'm curious too, like if a lot of it has, and I'm sure it started out with stemming from knowing that, man, this algorithm, the more interactions we get, it's going to boost it. But like also what I'm starting to see too is like teens posting to their stories, their post, and then like using like a GIF or something to like cover up the picture and then being like, new post just dropped, like make sure to go like and comment it. And it's just, I don't know. It's just interesting trying to boost the likes and interactions that it gets.
Well, this has been around for forever because, I mean, years ago it was like for like, comment for comment. Yeah. Like people used to say stuff like that to get you to like and comment more. I feel like now it's more understood. But like you said, it is a friend thing that if you're really my friend, you better hype me up. You better do it super quick. Like you better be on top of it and boost my comments.
So do we think comments are so important just because of like the status, popularity, boosting the posts? Like why, what do y'all think it's?
I think it's a friend status thing of,
okay,
if I'm your bestie, then I need to have my three generic comments on every one of your posts. And if I don't post on your comments, that means I'm probably going to be passive aggressively mad at you, or that's what's going through the head of the poster. Yeah, I mean, and listen, adults, if you're listening, you may be thinking to yourself, man, that sounds so dumb. Guess what? Adults and Facebook are almost worse, if not you're worse for different reasons. So this is not just kids that we're talking about. This is everybody. Comment culture is not just like, thank you, you know, oh my gosh, so cute with like 17 E's. You know, it's also the old people going on. And I'm classifying my own parents in this situation, or you know, people my age, and going in and like, you know, making comments on like, oh, that's so scary, or like this world's going to heck, you know, that kind of stuff. So like it's everybody. Comment culture is bad everywhere. It's not just with teens. So teens, sorry, I'm going to go to bat for you a little bit. I don't want you to feel like you're getting dumped on just because you're a teen. So.
But I mean, I guess too, like even to explain to parents, like why it's so important, I guess for teens is like, it's this added affirmation, I guess, even looking at it from a friend standpoint of like, okay, right, you know, getting this affirmation of like, my friends care, my friends are going to go out and, you know, make comments. And so like, I know it can seem silly to us adults, but it is also acknowledging that it is important to this generation. And it's something right now that we're seeing a lot of.
Yeah. So even if you don't understand it, I think know that it is a thing and it's something that your students are worried about.
So let's talk about something else that your students may be worried about, and that is test anxiety. Do you guys struggle with this? Do any of y'all, like, do either one of y'all have these issues with test anxiety?
I think, like, weirdly enough for me, like, I was always just a good tester. And so, like, almost for me, especially, like, late into high school and college, it was like I would rely on tests. Because the daily kind of grade stuff, I would just be like, eh. And so, I don't know. I think I was just, and you'll always just see, like, people are just good testers. Some people, and it's just kind of, it depends person to person.
Yeah, I test made me nervous, and I did this thing, especially around finals and especially in college, that is, now that I'm saying it, is maybe a little neurotic, but like I would calculate my grade and then calculate like based on the percentage that the test would be, like what is the minimum that I have to get on this test to maintain an A?
And you would calculate that yourself?
Oh, yeah. So that
you're crazy. A different kind of student.
There's websites. There's websites for that.
Okay, sorry.
You just put in your grades. That's what I do.
I could go into the test going like, I just have to make a 70. That's it. And then I'm fine. Like, it might drop my grade a little bit, but not enough to change my GPA, that kind of stuff. And so I feel like most of the time I went in going like, oh, this is going to be fine. That doesn't mean I wasn't nervous. But I wasn't one of those students, because I did know have friends who like would go in with so much anxiety that they would do awfully, or that they just knew, I do not test well. I can have a really good grade, but when it comes to the test, I'm going to bomb this or come out going, I got a 50. Like, that wasn't
right.
I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, I super have that problem. I think I still do, if I'm being honest too, because I don't really like. I took some certification tests. To kind of get other certifications when I was teaching. And I, even as an adult, I'm like, man, like I would kind of get in my own head about the stuff. Mm. So all that to say, like, I fully think this stuff is real, and I don't take it lightly. So let's talk about who might have those test anxiety. So it's going to be like your worriers, i.e. Tobin Hodges worriers, perfectionists, like some people that may be perfectionists, and students who are unprepared, i.e. Tobin Hodges, but care about the outcome. And so, Carly, you said you were the one that would try to figure out how to keep an A. I was the, like, how bad can I do at this and my grade still be okay? Like, I looked at it the other way. It was like, if I completely bomb, like, where's my bomb level? Like, can I get a 70 and still have a decent grade in the class? And so that was the anxiety that took over me. Some symptoms that you might be seeing. If you're a school staff listening, this is also something to be like, keep an eye out, but also parents too. It's physical sweating, shaking, rapid heartbeat, nausea, cognitive and behavioral like differences, like if they're like avoiding the test, they're skipping school, they may actually be turning to like drugs and alcohol. Legitimately, that like a kid might be taking some pills or like some weed or something to take the edge off before they come into your class. Or you might see it in emotional ways, like depression, low self-esteem, some anger, just things like that. So those are all things that might be happening, and there might be a myriad of reasons that, like we just talked about, it could be because of parent pressure, it could be because of GPAs or class ranks and stuff like that. So a lot of things going into this. So here are some suggestions on how to lessen test anxiety. So if you're a student listening or an adult taking a test, start studying early. I know that sounds like the worst. Okay, but it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you know, the answer is putting in the work, but you know, that's the answer you don't want. So like whenever someone says, well, did you actually practice? Like, well, no. Well, okay. Well, then what do you expect? Yeah. So like, I'm having that conversation as a parent a lot with my son and in like band and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, you didn't do well on the chair test. Oh, did you practice? Well, not really. Well, okay, then what did you expect, buddy? Like, and so, you know, it's really the only answer is like, you got to put in the work. Like, it's like a diet too. Like, if you want to lose weight, you have to put in work to lose weight, whether it's with what you eat or worth working out. So if that is the biggest answer, like, break up your studying so it's not overwhelming. Like tell yourself, hey, I'm going to study for 30 minutes today, and then I'm going to do something I really want to do for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to study for an hour tomorrow because I have an hour, whatever it may be. Something I used to tell students, or I still tell students, is if you are not a driver, force yourself to study in the car rides from home to school and school to home. Because like, if you live in a metroplex area like us, like no, wherever you go, it's going to take you at least 20 minutes. And so like, that's a built in, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of studying right away that you can have where you're just sitting in a car. You can find a study partner. That never worked for me, but that might work for you. So I have too much friendship ADD for that kind of stuff. I'm like, next thing you know, you're playing video games instead of actually studying. So
that's fair.
You know, we talk a lot in teen life groups about centering ourselves and doing fist to fives. And one way that I lead groups is that I have them take a deep breath before we start talking about something heavy. You could do that in yours testing. Like, if it might look weird, but that's okay. Like, sit at your desk with the test, whatever, and take a few deep breaths. Like, kind of like center yourself. Like, that is scientifically proven to work to help settle your brain and settle your nerves and to kind of get you from a fight or flight state to a better emotional state in your brain. This could also be weird, but if maybe do it alone, but practice positive self-talk, you know, like don't sit at your desk and be like, you could do this. You mean that might be a little weird, but you know,
internal
do it from
self-talk.
Yeah. Internal, you know,
get a that's hype what I meant. Song. Like a hype song, listen to it.
Yeah, ask your
class.
Teacher if you can come in with one of like an old school 80s boombox with your hype song. You know, that I think anything that's going to make you work, let's do it. And you know, other things, the other big thing that you maybe don't want to do, but you should do is talk to a teacher, a parent, or a counselor. I have many times in groups lately have kids talk about the stress of testing and like missing assignments piling up. And my answer always to them is if you talk to the teacher, they're going to want to help you.
Yeah.
Like, obviously that's not 100%. There are teachers that may not be, but I will tell you the teachers that I know and the teachers I've worked with over the years, 9 times out of 10, they just want you to come show that you have an interest in doing better.
Yeah.
And they'll give you this tools that you need. And like, you might be 100% at fault from not turning things in, not showing up to class, whatever. But as long as you show an interest in, hey, I want to get better. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, teachers have the personality to help you because that's what they're there for. They're not there to be tyrants or bad guys. Like, they want to help you.
Well, I think, too, if you let them know early or ahead of time, opposed to like, hey, I just failed this test, now what? But if you're studying for a test and you're going, I'm really anxious about this, I'm really struggling with this material. If you go to the teacher ahead of time and say, can you help me? Or there's some tips you can provide me. There also are, like, if you have a diagnosed learning disorder or something like that, then there are things that the school can do to help you. Maybe they put you in a room by yourself. Maybe they give you extra time to test. I had friends who had to do that, and that was valid, but that helped them with their test anxiety because they could not function well if they were doing it in a normal test setting. And so it's okay to ask for help and do what works best for you and your brain.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, too, that's part of it, finding what works, like even studying, too. Like, I think trying new ways and figuring out new things to study, like, you know, if you're just trying to read the textbook and figure out from there and it's not working, switch it up. Like, I know Quizlet, I think, is paid now. That never was whenever I was going through school, but that was a huge tool for me because, like, they have flashcards. They have one where you're, like, having to type in answers. They have one where it's, like, almost like a game. And so, like, switching up ways and different things to study. And I think that's where having other people, like, hey, how do you study for that? Right. Yeah. Like, even asking other people, whether you're actually studying with them or not, like, if you have a friend, you know, is doing well in a class, being like, hey, how do you study for this? And having them walk with you. And then I think, too, like, also similar to like what Carly said off the top, like, the better that you do on the non-test parts, the less pressure there is for you when the test comes. Sure. Right. Cause, like, if you're slacking in the other areas of the class, and you're like, okay, now my grade depends on this test.
Right.
Then that adds a whole other layer of stress if it's like make or break for you at that point. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting it on the work on like non-test stuff, it hopefully will take some of that pressure off of you when the test does come.
Yeah. And the last thing about students, then I want to talk about teachers for a second. But the thing that I'm still really bad about, but especially when I was a student, is don't go, like, if you didn't put in the work ahead of time, if you didn't study and you're like a week out or whatever, it's still okay to like put in work. Like, it's still going to help you, because what I would do is, if I knew that I was way behind in studying or way behind and stuff, instead of dealing with it the way it was, I'd be like, well, I'm screwed. It's over. I can't do it. And I would just show up stupidly with zero prep and just pray for that and think that, you know, maybe the God from the heavens will come down and give me all the knowledge I have, you know, and it just didn't, you know, it rarely worked out. So even a day's worth of work is better than not doing any work. So just keep that in mind. And listen, if you're one of those people that doesn't have test anxiety and you don't have to study, like, more power to you, like, that's great. But like, we're talking about people who do have test anxiety and ways to avoid it. Okay, real quick, for teachers and staff members who are listening, here are some things that you can do to help encourage and like kind of recognize this thing. Some of these things are out of your control, obviously, as a teacher. But one thing that I encourage with my wife and other teachers as well is think about the timing of your test. If you have any chance to like influencing when the test is happening. Like, obviously standardized testing, you can't do that. But like, if it's a unit test or if, or something that you have influence on the timing, think about what day of the week is going to be best for this. Is there anything going on school-wide that's going to create extra stress? Like, do I have a lot of band kids that have a contest this week? You know, is there a way that you, or do I have, you know, a big football game that all the players are stressed out about? Like, is there a way that you can influence when it is happening so that way they don't have to compete with other things that are stressing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe making your test, like, obviously the material is material, but trying to find a way to make your room a good testing environment, whether it's with calming white noise, music, dimming the lights a little bit, whatever it may be to kind of help the stress. One thing that I saw from a coworker was, whenever they had big stress test days, she would meet them at the door and tell them their worth. Like, your worth is not in this test. I believe in you. And she'd give them like a peppermint or like something that's going to help, like, have them take a breath before they even walk in the classroom. There's a lot of conscious discipline data in scientific like research on a teacher that greets at the door on every day, but especially testing days, it helps the anxiety and the stress of that student go down exponentially. So, so just meeting them at the door on the test days, like, I know that you got a lot going on, but like, that can go a long way with a lot of kids, and just telling every student as they walk in that they got this, like, even if they don't, you know, it does a lot more for them. If you're, instead of you just being at your desk saying, okay, hurry up, get your stuff and like, and sit down. So yeah, I think just also just, you know, if you can help with the testing environment, like, just make sure you're doing that. So, yeah. Anything else that y'all might know, like, teachers or students, that like, teachers, staff might be able to add to help with that kind of stuff that maybe you wanted as a student?
I mean, I think for teachers too, like, even if students like are worried about time limit, things like that, of like, even whenever you're grading and like, maybe you see a student who like has like the back half not done and they maybe didn't get to it, instead of just like, just slamming them, following up, being like, hey, did you just run out of time? Could we find a time for you to finish it? Right. And just like, you know, helping build a culture of like, hey, you know, we've got like, even on time restraints, like, if you don't finish, follow up with me, we'll find a time for you. And for the students who maybe haven't had the conversations with the school of like needing some of this extra stuff to help with the taste and anxiety, just doing everything in your power to make it easy and take stress off the students.
Well, and I just think to kind of wrap up, I'm a big believer in, I'm not saying that you don't hold them accountable or that there don't need to be consequences for students who don't prepare and all that kind of stuff. But if you are a teacher and there's a student who is struggling, especially with test, maybe instead of being like, well, they just didn't prepare, I'm over it, think to yourself, what could be behind this? And there might be a place to ask good questions of like, hey, this is the second test in a row that you've really struggled with. Do you need help? Is there something I can give you to help you prepare more? Like, is there, do you need extra time? Asking questions like that. And that doesn't mean that you just give them a pass of like, you know what, don't worry about taking tests ever again. Or, you know what, let's just, you get a free pass because you're stressed. But I do think there are students who actually have test anxiety who just freeze when they're under pressure. And if you can come from a place of understanding and asking questions and not just a place of judgment or shame of you did this wrong, I can't believe you failed this, I think that can go a long way in them trusting you. And then maybe the next time them actually coming to you for help because they feel like you are a safe place where they can do that.
Yeah. And just as always, this is heavy. It's a lot, but everybody's coming from different backgrounds, and just make sure that we're trying to be receptive to all those things. And just like we always say, teenagers are not a problem to be solved. So stop trying to solve it, because that's not what we're here for. We're here to help them. So thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and to all of our podcasts and video platforms. And we are so thankful for you guys listening, and we'll see you next week.